today on the Bill Kelly Show on 900 CHML.
We want to get into what's going on with the Canadian military. Another, well, some people call it faux pas. Some are using much stronger language earlier this week. When it was announced that one of the people that was near the middle of the sexual abuse allegations that have gone on right now, one Major General Peter Daw, wrote a positive reference letter to a sex offender, a convicted sex offender. He will no longer be responsible for working on the military response to the external sexual misconduct reviews. You're saying to yourself, why was he even put there? It's a good question. And it's starting to resonate even deeper now up on Parliament Hill. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has taken a direct aim at the military commanders following a whirlwind 48 hours involving a senior officer who provided that reference letter. Trudeau says he was, to use his words, stunned and dismayed at recent revelations about Major General Peter Daw. Here's the PM.
It is obvious that despite the work that the military has done, despite the work that we've done, the military still doesn't get that survivors need to be at the center and the unique priority of everything in regards to sexual misconduct and harassment in the military.
Similar comments from the Deputy Prime Minister, Chrystia Freeland, yesterday, too, to Global's Mercedes Stevenson. So what is going on, and why is this continuing to swirl around? And there's an awful lot of people right now that are wondering why they haven't addressed some of the key issues here. This is an ongoing problem. Joining us to talk about this whole scenario is Walter Callahan. Walter is a PhD candidate in medical anthropology with the Faculty of Arts and Science at the University of Toronto. Walter, a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks for having me again.
How do we deal with this? I mean, by definition, we want to have respect for the military, and we do, I think, have respect for the great work that they do and their dedication to their country, etc. But this whole thing of sexual misconduct and the way in which the military has dealt with allegations of sexual misconduct seems to be getting, if not no better, worse, if not no better. I mean, it's awfully frustrating to see yet the latest incarnation of this crisis.
Frustration is such a light word to describe this.
Yeah.
When this current dumpster fire started up, the language that spontaneously came out of my mouth, well, I think we get muted and get you in trouble with the CRTC.
Thank you for maintaining the standards. I appreciate it.
But yeah, that response, it was like wildfire throughout the veterans community, especially those of us who work with MST survivors. But amongst the MST survivors themselves, it was like such a kick to the groin. And this whole thing has been a lesson in how to shoot yourself in the foot.
Well, and the very appointment, I mean, for instance, you know, they apologized, and you know, the Prime Minister was commenting about that, about the fact that, okay, Major General Daw has been taken down from the post. The most egregious part of that is, what was he doing in that post in the first place? And, you know, he's in charge of the military's response to external sexual misconduct reviews. And that's the fox in the hen house, isn't it?
Well, there's some extra added parts in there as well. Some of the news that broke late last night, that he had been in that position for 3 weeks until the media broke that he had been put in that position. And this raises one of the questions that first came to mind of, he was in there for 3 weeks. Why did it take the media to let us know that this was happening? Normally, when a general gets put into a place, there is some media fanfare, some PR announcement about it. Mm-hmm. Especially on a file like this, where they've been pointing out the optics of really trying to be sensitive to how complex the issue is and how sensitive it is for those who have been victimized, that they kept this silent for 3 weeks until it got broken in the news, and then they scrambled. But their scramble was really delayed. A number of prominent advocates had reached out to the ACDS and the Vice CDS, raising concerns about this. And there was a little bit of silence, we don't know what to do. Then they finally got back to a bunch of us with the announcement late Tuesday night, when they announced, oh, yeah, sorry, we're pulling him out of this position. It's like, well, why the hell did you put him in the position in the first place?
Yeah, and nobody wanted to address that. I mean, you're right. I mean, I guess the person we heard from was Lieutenant General Francis Allen, who's the Vice Chief of Defense Staff, with an apology that they didn't inform the media sooner. But they didn't address the problem as what in God's name was Dodd doing in that position in the first place? I mean, especially
for 3 weeks.
And they knew the history. They knew what this guy was all about. It really goes to, I guess, the insensitivity of this, doesn't it, Walter?
Absolutely. I mean, they've tried to reframe it as this was an attempt at restorative justice. We were trying to rehabilitate him. Well, restorative justice, one of the basic principles is that you do it on the timelines and with the needs of the victims first and forefront. You don't dictate to the victims, this is how we're going to restore someone. We're going to rehabilitate someone by doing this. So the fact that they didn't reach out to any of the prominent advocates in this, and certainly not even to the people that were victimized by the letter that Dawes wrote, that they were an afterthought. This is part of the problem. You don't go into this dictating to victims how things are going to go. Not if you're truly intending on playing the game of restorative justice. So to do this as an afterthought, and it's only now after the outcry that they've gone, we'll also make sure that he has the opportunity to sit down with some of the prominent advocates and some of the victims to make sure he hears from them. That should have been the very first thing they did before any consideration of putting him into this position. To do it backwards, well, it is completely backwards. And it just adds to the frustration that a lot of us feel. I think it was Freeland who made the statement yesterday. They just do not get it. And it's troubling that they don't get it when there's so many of us who have been speaking out, both from the victim advocacy standpoint, but also those of us who specialize in understanding culture and culture change. And they're it seems that once again, they're just ignoring it, that they're trying to be willfully blind to what the true underlying problems are. And a big part of this with us has been, it's a reiteration. The way this is played out, it's a reiteration of the old boys club. And instead of actually addressing the issues, they're going, oh, well, here's something that we can do that they'll give the appearance of it being fine without anyone actually stopping and thinking. Now, with the fact that it's been that he was in the position for 3 weeks without any announcement of him being put in there, I would also suggest that they knew that this was going to be problematic. So I think they were trying to bury it. There's attached to that, the word that's come out is that the position he was put in to review the different, to review the reviews, to do a meta review, was not so much to make the decisions on the file, but that part of the intent was that he would learn from those reviews and that the recommendations he would make would not actually be binding in any way. This on the surface, that seems fine-ish, but it raises other issues of this is a general. The optics of a general making recommendations are that that's what will happen. And part of the questions that immediately came to my mind and to the minds of others as well is, why in God's name is he doing this? Shouldn't this be part of the profile for Lieutenant General Carignan and her Office of Professional Conduct and Culture? Why is this being done separately? Even if the recommendations he makes aren't really recommendations, but just proof that he's learned something, the optics of this are horrid.
Well, and just from that standpoint, you look at this and say, okay, as you say, there's a committee that's actually looking into this who probably should have been in charge of this. What were Peter Dawes' qualifications, Major General's qualifications to actually pass judgment on this and make, is it because, well, he was accused of this sort of stuff? It's the arrogance of this, and it follows, as you know, Walter, with the incident a couple of months ago now. Of course, we know that Admiral Art MacDonald stepped down as Chief of Defense Staff after there were allegations. He finally decided not to press charges, which does not mean innocent. I mean, I know that some people are going to say, well, you're splitting hairs. No, you're not. Just the fact that they couldn't get a conviction means they won't press charges. They didn't say there wasn't any impropriety. And the day after that announcement came down, Admiral MacDonald says, well, I want my job back now. Whoa, just a minute. I mean, to his credit, Minister Sajjan said, no, not yet. But he said, you know, you go back in the corner, buddy. We're not finished with you yet.
Yeah, this is also the really screwed up elitism that some of these individuals take on, that they're above reproach. And yeah, the whole thing of the absence of charges is not proof of innocence. And I think this is a struggling one, because there's a difference between the popular imagination of guilt and innocence and the legal requirements for charges to be laid. Because of the resources that are at play and how damaging cases can be, especially to victims, a lot of prosecutors are very cautious and only pursue charges, only allow charges to be laid if they have a damned good chance of a successful prosecution. And I think with McDonald, that was in the case. Now, with Dawes, what he did wasn't illegal. He didn't break any laws, but he sure as hell was morally bankrupt in writing the letter that he did, and that he has not once expressed any regrets, except for the fact that he got that his career's being tarnished. But he doesn't seem to actually understand how what he did was so damaging. To put him in any position that has any say or any perception of having a say on issues as troubling as these, it's just mind-boggling. This was one of the worst steps they could have taken.
But this really, I think, underscores what a lot of the accusations had stated, hasn't it, in previous testimonies, Walter, about the fact that there's no sense in even reporting these because it gets covered up. The people that do it get vilified, and they get under intense scrutiny and pressure from their higher ups and from their senior officers. And it just seems to go on and on in situations like this. And it's not as if these guys are not aware that red flags have been raised. I mean, you know, there have been reports after reports, the 2015 report that came out, of Justice Fish's report that came out earlier this year. Justice Arbour, former Justice Arbour, of course, is working on another element of this too. They're all over this when it comes to recommendations and explaining exactly what's going on. Maybe Major General Daw and Admiral McDonald should be reading those reports to get an essence of what's going on here under their noses. And you know, to suggest that they weren't aware of this, I think, is naive at best. I mean, there's got to be some, I would think at some point, an admission that, yeah, this thing is really screwed up, and the people at the top seem, if not necessarily culpable, certainly culpable of not addressing it.
Yeah, it is so frustrating that this continues in this way. The number of senior ranking members of the military that I've engaged with who have never even read the Deschamps report, even though it was published in 2015, it was supposed to be the hallmark of Operation Honor, that so many of them haven't even read that. It really is a case of, what are you actually doing that? We discussed previously the paper I wrote where I gave that idea of people being willfully blind and why that could occur. And we're seeing it in spades. The idea that, well, it's not, if we ignore it, it'll go away. There's not really an issue here. People are just blowing out of proportion. And the current thing with Dawes, there were comments coming out on social media of, why do we keep bringing up these things from 40 years ago, from 20 years ago? Excuse me, Dawes, his huge, vile, morally corrupt misstep was in 2017. And he refused to acknowledge it until it broke in the public earlier this year and he was removed from his position. This is not for something long time ago, though we do have to pay attention to those as well. But the fact that the military just keeps making these missteps,
Walter,
it's exhausting to constantly have to put it in front of them of why and how they're making these errors.
I got about a minute left here. What's going to happen? What's supposed to happen here? I mean, there's been calls for the minister to be booted out. I don't know if that's going to solve the problem, but there's certainly a chain of command that needs to be addressed in this situation. But the chain of command within the military itself needs to be addressed. I mean, it seems to me as if there ought to be a reckoning and a cleansing of some sort here.
And how you actually go about that when the problems exist at such a foundational level. It's I mean, without getting rid of the entire officer corps and senior NCOs, I don't know quite how we do it. We have to take it step by step. But one thing that definitely has to be done is for them to step up to the plate, acknowledge that they're doing these things wrong, and engage more substantially with the prominent advocates like the group It's Not Just 700, but also with the victims. There is some attempt to do that, but we're waiting to see how it'll play out with the creation of a restorative justice system under the class action that was settled. But they can't keep making these same mistakes time and time again. Someone there has to step back and do the check of what they're doing wrong. And they do have some cases of restorative justice that have worked. Admiral Baines, one of the two individuals who was involved in the scandal of the golfing with General Vance. Baines has stepped forward. He's acknowledged publicly how wrong it was. He sought out and sat down and got grilled by a bunch of survivors and advocates. And he really does seem to have learned. But that's one case out of how many?
We're going to have to use that as the template, I guess, going forward. We're right out of time. Walter, I thank you for the great work that you're doing on this file and keeping it up there in on the front burner. And thanks so much for the time today. We'll stay in touch. This is far from over.
Anytime.
Walter Callahan, of course, a PhD candidate in medical anthropology at the U of T, who's been studying and advocating on behalf of the victims in military sexual misconduct for quite some time.
The Bill Kelly Show, weekdays from 9 to noon on 900 CHML.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.